You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Well, I hope you enjoyed the first hour of conversation focused heavily on what's going on in Kenosha, Wisconsin, the initial incident, the Kyle Rittenhouse curveball. Kevin McDonald, native of Wisconsin, on with us to join us for that discussion. But now, the second and third hours in their entireties, we'll be joined by our good friend, radio legend Sam Bushman. And we're going to be breaking down the Republican National Convention. Again, last week we had talked a little bit about the Democratic Convention and third-party activism, of course. Tonight, on the heels of the GOP convention wrapping up on Thursday, a couple of nights ago, this is what we're going to be talking about. That convention, what we saw, what we think about it, and also Trump's prospects for re-election in light of everything that has gone on this year with COVID, with the riots, and it only seems to be accelerating. Well, 4 years ago, I was with none other than Sam Bushman at the Republican National Convention. That's where you back when you could still go places. And we shared a week that I will never forget, a week where we were on Radio Row, credentialed members of the press. We were in the building when Trump received his nomination. It was an unforgettable year, a lot of energy, a lot of excitement for the prospects of a Trump presidency. Now, here we are 4 years later. Well, what makes this conversation with Sam so interesting was that 4 years ago, Sam was pretty much the only person I knew who wasn't voting for Trump and who didn't vote for Trump. Now, as that enthusiasm has waned
in the general public,
Sam Bushman has endorsed Donald Trump and will be voting for him in 2020, whereas he didn't 4 years ago. Sam, break us down. What has changed between those two conventions?
The tyranny in America.
All right, elaborate.
I did that on purpose. The tyranny in America has changed. The fact is, before, it was a peaceful reality. No matter whether you had Republicans or Democrats, you can differ with the ideology. The Southerners used to be old-style Democrats, Blue Dog Democrats, whatever you want to call them, yesteryear Democrats, which I agree with a whole lot more than I did the current Republican, if you will. And so there's a lot that's changed. One, the tyranny in the nation, the flat-out rioting in the streets, and literally in all these big cities controlled by Democrats, all the governments are backing the tyranny, backing the anarchy, backing the, on one hand, throw down against whites, but let blacks do whatever they want to do, foment race at every turn. The mayor, for example, in Portland right now, literally praising and promoting the rioters. They literally mock him, go straight to his house in this condominium complex or whatever, and literally riot in the lobby. And just simply say, we're going to do a sit-in and we're not going to leave. We want you to resign. We hate you. Okay, while he endorses them. Okay, so you got the government at local levels in bed with tyrannical rioters and lawbreakers. Okay, that's going on. That's changed big time. Before, it was like, hey, we'll have the peaceful transfer of power. Disagree with the ideology, maybe. But the Republicans are in office and the conservatives go to sleep. The Democrats are in office, so they wake up and rally against it. But it was all peaceful and differing of opinion. Now it's not peaceful. It's violent. It's lawbreaking. It's in your face, and you could be dead. That's changed, number one. The second thing that's changed is the face of the Republican Party. The Republican Party, 4 years ago, when we looked at it, I didn't see a single person there, not counting, say, a Rand Paul or a Ron Paul, maybe, or maybe one or two others, that wasn't a flat-out swamp monster. They betrayed their platform. They were Rhino Republican in name only. They simply rejected everything that we hold dear from a moral point of view. And the ones who would typify that viewpoint right now would be people like Mitt Romney. Okay, these people are nutcases. They're more Democrat than Republican. They're Republican in name only, but they do everything they can to tear down the Republican values that we hold dear. They do everything that we can or that they can to build up the swamp and reject everything that matters to us. Okay, in my opinion, Romney typifies what's wrong with the Republican Party today. But the point is, that's what the party looked like over 4 years ago. And when I looked at it, I didn't see a single person that was on the stage, in other words, next in line with a good old boy network, if you will. I didn't see anybody on the national stage that I felt like could really do anything to right the republic, to turn it around, to change it, to make a difference, to matter a darn. All Trump had was a bunch of promises on the campaign trail, which we've seen a gazillion times from Sunday. Okay, and so that's what the landscape looked like then. What's changed now? President Trump has missed a bunch of promises. He's far from perfect. I'm not here to tell you the wonderful attributes of President Trump, that he's this great, great person. That's not true. But what is true are the promises that he has kept. All right, he's promised he would put in more conservative judges. Are they perfect judges? No. Have they betrayed him to some degree? Without a doubt. But he's put in over 200 appellate judges. Maybe 300 or more will get in there if he can stay longer. He's also put in some conservative judges everywhere. He's stood for pro-life like no president in my lifetime. He makes Ronald Reagan look like a wimp when it comes to pro-life. Okay, he literally spoke to the pro-life groups, literally spoke to them. No president has ever done that since Roe versus Wade. So he's standing for pro-life. He's put judges that'll support the Constitution more than any other president. And now you say, all right, so the Republican Party has changed. You got new leaders there. You've got the Rand Pauls that have some prominence speaking at the convention. You have Eric and Donald Trump Jr., who both appeared on my program. You've got people who actually can and might make a difference. Donald Trump has remade the Republican Party to the point where all the old guard is now protesting Trump and literally backing Joe Biden as a Democrat. You've got new faces with a possibility of some of these people actually making a difference. Will they all? No. If you're not careful in your back party, they'll all become the swamp again. I get it. But you have a prayer now that you didn't have before. The Republican Party face has changed. You've got Melania Trump speaking. Okay. You've got people speaking who actually could make a difference. People like Ben Carson, many others. And I use them because that's an immigrant and a black man that are all supporting Donald Trump. And you say, why are they supporting President Trump? Because they have some vestige of conservatism in them still, and it's nowhere to be found outside of Trump. The third parties are all but dried up. You can't find a third party person that's worth voting for. You can't even name one, I'll bet you. I bet you can't even name a third-party presidential candidate right now.
And if you can, I actually looked it up today.
If you can, it's a whacked-out third-party liberal one that's a libertarian that wants to smoke pot and whatever, right?
Or, well, the Constitution Party is running someone again this year.
It's Blankenship. You don't even know who he is at all, do you?
Well, I know his name. That's all I know.
That's fine. Tell me about Mr. Blankenship, and I'll tell you about him. I know a lot about him. But the point I'm making is you don't know, and there's nobody to vote for. Now, if you look it up, you might see his name today. That's fine, but I know a lot about Blankenship. He comes from the energy arena. He got arrested and went to prison. It was all not justified. He was wronged big time like almost every good American has been. He's a great guy. But, I mean, we don't even know the guy's name or his history at all.
And this is coming from people who cut their teeth in third parties, who...
And this is coming from people like me that are third party big time.
And you spoke at the Constitution Party convention a few years ago. We were together for that in Nashville.
I did.
Well, anyway, Keith Alexander wants to weigh in on this.
I'm not downing Blankenship. I'm just saying nobody even knows his name.
Well, I think third parties have never been more irrelevant than they are now. Not to say that they had a lot of relevancy going back to even 2000.
But I'll finish on the Democratic Party. What's changed, you asked? I'll finish on the Democratic Party in a second.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Transport back in time to our nation's founding at the Freedom's Light Festival. Visit with freedom fighters, colonial artisans, music, contests, prizes, over 35 activities for the whole family. Schedule a school field trip and fulfill the federal requirement to teach the Constitution. Can you crack the spy codes used to win the Revolutionary War? Take home a founding document printed on the exact replica Isaiah Thomas used for the first Declaration of Independence. Register and compete in the Constitution Bowl. Join us September 17th through the 19th. Register at freedomslight.us. freedomslight.us. This event is completely free. Now more than ever, we need to ensure Freedom's Light is not extinguished. Let's keep this light shining in the hearts and minds of our children. freedomslight.us. That's freedomslight.us.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999, text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com, defendapatriot.com.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Okay, folks, so Sam Bushman, James Edwards, Keith Alexander, breaking down the case for Trump, really, the prospects for his reelection, the case for Trump, and also the GOP convention. We're putting all those in the blender, and we're going to serve you out a dish here over the course of the remainder of this hour and the full third hour. A lot to unpack. Sam was making some good points, but this is going to be a look at Trump, a critical look, a nuanced look, both good and bad, as we have done for the last 4 years. When he does things we like, we'll give him credit. When he does things that we think he could improve on, we'll hold him to the task. And, you know, frankly, Sam, I watched the GOP convention. It's like we said on your show a few days ago, the difference between Biden and Trump is, do you want to hit the wall going 100 miles an hour or do you want to hit it going 50 miles an hour? Are white voters grist for the GOP meal? Are they basically harvesting us for votes without giving us very much in return? You're right. On the periphery, on the margins, the judges, that's okay. I mean, how good are they? Not as good as we want.
Not very good, actually.
That's for sure. Well, on the Supreme Court especially. The pro-life stuff, there's no doubt about that. But things have gotten progressively worse since 2016. This has all happened on Trump's watch. Now, what power does the president have against the machine? Again, as you said, Keith, not much. But as we saw at the convention, Sam, every group of people were told what the GOP would do for them, except the group of people who actually vote Republican. Sam?
So I would say this, is this the case for Trump or is this the case for morality and sanity? Is this the case for the Constitution and for a hope and a prayer of some kind of moral semblance of reality and stability and law and order? Or is this the case for flat out socialism, communism and tyranny? Okay, you got Barack Obama who served for 8 years and you know what? We don't even know who this man is. We don't know where he was born. We don't know who his father is. We don't know who his mother is. I know you can say you know, but you don't know. And for all we know, he was a communist from the get-go. But never mind, back in 2008, he said he was going to set up an army. Well, now, the second Trump took office, the army has gone absolutely unleashed on America. They have literally turned this nation into close to a Weimar Republic. You can't even walk outside the nation's capital without getting assaulted if you ask a Rand Paul and his wife, Kelly. And so you've got a situation where these people have lost their minds. Joe Biden is absolutely doesn't even have his mind with him. The gal on the ticket with him, Kamala Harris, is a flat-out communist, openly so, after the order of Barack Hussein, Barry Satoru himself. And so I'm not making so much of a case for Trump, although I am, because he represents the only sane choice we have right now. Is he perfect? Far from. But is it going to be that? Or is it going to be Biden goes into the loony bin, Kamala Harris becomes president? Who's the VP? Nancy Pelosi, unless she hands it to Hillary Clinton? I mean, what ilk do you want to possibly give us a chance to save our nation? And I think it comes down to the case for reality, Keith.
Well, I was going to say, Sam, the case you made, though, as far as this discussion is concerned, we're talking about what do you do in November. It's either Trump or Biden. That's clear. Or set out. And this is what we're talking about the next 2 hours, Keith.
Well, Sam, we've talked a lot about Trump and Trump's virtues and his shortcomings. But the thing that I think we need to focus on is what happened to the Democratic Party over the past 4 years. Is this...
They came out of the closet as communists.
Well, the thing is it Trump derangement syndrome has driven them crazy? Or did they really have all this in mind anyway that they were going to spring on an unsuspecting nation if Hillary had been elected? And then the best laid plans of mice and men went astray and she lost and they decided to come out with all their craziness anyway. I haven't seen anything as extreme as this in my entire lifetime.
Yeah,
I lived through 1968 in the days of rage and the Chicago 7 and all that. That doesn't hold a candle to this.
Right, and I would say this. I would say that they've had this intention for quite some time, and I think it took a Trump to really galvanize the American people and some promises that he made on the campaign trail that if he really gets done, it could change this nation. Trump has hinted that he might even abolish the Federal Reserve or change the money system in America. That's what JFK did and died for it, right? JFK created the $2.
I've heard that.
The $2 note instead of a United States note instead of a Federal Reserve note, which means there's no interest charged to the people on the money. Okay, and he died for it. And so all I'm telling you is you look at that and you say, hey, they are simply saying we are going to unleash this on America now. If we wait any longer, the people are going to galvanize behind a candidate and a person that could actually make changes that we're not going to let happen.
Well, let me ask you this, Sam. I seem to think that the theme song for the Trump campaign should be too much. Elvis Presley's Too Much Conversation, Not Enough Action. He gives great tweets. He makes great speeches, but very little of those sentiments get translated into real governmental policy or action. It would seem like the same old usual suspects, Jewish power and influence, are in control. He's gotten criminal justice reform and he's gotten tax reform. He hasn't built the wall. He hasn't really come through for his base. And he extols everybody, extols black people. He has Tim Scott talk. He has Nikki Haley, who is considered in the South a great traitor for removing the Confederate flag from the governmental buildings in South Carolina. But the one group he won't advocate for are white people. In fact, he has his daughter Tiffany saying that we cannot have identity politics for white people, basically. And, you know, that type of stuff is demoralizing to our audience, at least. I know that. How could you respond to that for us?
I'd respond in several ways, and I would say simply this. And I think James articulated my position very well when he said, when Trump does something right, I'm going to give him credit. And when he does something wrong, I'm going to be very critical, and I'm going to point out the real answer. And I think if we do that consistently, I can, with a clear conscience, vote for Trump over Biden and say it's the best moral decision I can make. And whenever he doesn't do something right, I'll point out where he needs to go to do right. And when he does something right, I'll give him credit. Those are the only choices I have left. If I sit out and do nothing, then I'm part of the problem. If I back the best I've got but yet push for more and articulate and lead the fight for more in terms of morality and integrity and et cetera, then I would submit to you that I have done my duty as not only an American, but a political leader.
Well, Sam, it's like we talked with Henrik Palmgren a couple of weeks ago about Trump, and he says he's gone back and forth, but I believe it was I believe I'm quoting Henrik here. We got to vote for Trump, right? I mean, you're talking about playing the cards that you're dealt with, not what would be great, not what would be best for us, because I don't think Trump represents us. And why doesn't he represent his base? Well, because his base can't apply any pressure. We can't come
together.
Hold
on a minute. Let's back up. Why do you assume you're his base? What makes you believe
we're the people that voted for him?
No, but what makes you think you were ever his base in the beginning? Just because you vote for someone, that doesn't mean that he considers you his base. I never said he cared about you.
Well, I guess anybody.
Well, he could not have been elected without us.
Doesn't matter.
He could not have been elected without white advocates.
Doesn't matter. You were played for
11 million people in the United States. Well, 11 million people.
Well, hang on a minute.
And he's not going to get 5% of the black vote. I don't care if he turns himself into a pretzel and kisses them all on the posterior.
He's still going to get your vote.
He's not going to get 5% of the black vote.
Heart attack here. Now, but here's the thing.
Hold on. It doesn't matter, though. He played you for a sucker. Don't you get it?
Yeah, well, hang on a minute. If we were the suckers...
Are we going to be played for a sucker again, then? Is that what you're recommending for
Absolutely.
Us?
Yeah.
Well,
compared to what?
Listen, folks, we're just getting started. This
compared to what, though? Do you want to be played for a sucker or lose your country?
All right. I think we're losing.
Maybe we've already lost.
I think we're losing. It's like we agreed, Sam, on your show a couple of weeks ago. We're losing it either way. How fast do we want to lose it?
That's
and how much
right.
time do we want to buy? That's what we're going to get into next. Great discussion.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump visited areas of Texas and Louisiana hit hard by Hurricane Laura. At the Emergency Operations Center in Orange, Texas, the president held a round table with local officials.
We've worked with the private sector to restore power to remaining 200,000 residents, and they think the power is going to be restored almost in very good order.
Pretty quick.
I believe, yeah, I believe so.
He said water and meals are being delivered to the region. He also signed a major disaster declaration. Earlier, he toured storm damage in Louisiana. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden gave a virtual address to the National Guard.
I promise you as president, I'll never put you in the middle of politics or personal vendettas. I'll never use the military as a prop or as a private militia to violate rights of fellow citizens.
This is USA Radio News.
Can the daily recommended servings of fruits and vegetables fit into just 6 capsules? Yes. We start by sourcing organically grown whole fruits and vegetables. We ensure they are picked at peak ripeness. All of our produce is third-party tested for pesticides, heavy metals, bad bacteria, and nutrients. They are then washed, cut, and put through an advanced vacuum cold process, which removes the water using pressure. This maximizes the nutritional value while preserving the color, smell, and taste of the fruit or vegetable. The freeze-dried food is then ground into a fine powder without adding any additives, fillers, or extracts. These powdered foods are then mixed in our proprietary blends and encapsulated, locking out air and moisture. The capsules are then bottled and shipped directly to our customers. Balance of Nature is now offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code USA.
President Trump is back on the campaign trail, and USA's Kenneth Burns has details.
The president hit the road less than a day after accepting the Republican nomination. As he was giving his acceptance speech as part of the RNC on the White House South Lawn, protesters took to the street. The president criticized protesters during the rally at an airport in Londonderry, New Hampshire.
They're not protesters. Those aren't protesters. Those are anarchists. They're agitators. They're rioters. They're looters.
For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns. Go.
Less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me.
Well, message from our side to Donald Trump. And again, as all of us were so eager, so enthusiastic this time, this day in 2016.
Not me.
For the
I warned
candidacy
you guys then.
Of Donald Trump. No, you're right. Well, but now, as we have cooled over the last 4 years, the only man I know on our side who didn't vote for him in 16 has warmed to Donald Trump. But this is.
But he also says that we're all being played for suckers.
Well, and he is saying being played for a sucker by Trump is the best option we've got. And that
It's like. You're being raped. Close your eyes and imagine you're being made love to.
I guarantee you, you'll vote for Trump on November 3rd.
Yeah,
tell me you.
I will.
So that's well.
I confess.
Hey, Sam. Before we
hold
on,
I was not defending Trump then, and I'm not now. Let's be very clear.
All right, be clearer.
My motives are not because I think Trump's great when I thought he was bad before. I still think the same as Trump as I did from the start. Okay, the what's changed is what your options are. What's changed is the reality of the situation that you face. What's changed is the circumstances that we find ourselves in. That has changed drastically. The Democrats have flat out, instead of being communist behind the scenes, they're in your face communist. The Republicans have jettisoned the old guard. The new group may fail, but they deserve a chance.
What I think you're saying, Sam, is this. Let me just say this. What I think you're saying is this. We're not voting for Donald Trump so much as we're voting against Biden and Kamala Harris.
Well, but you know, but at the same time, Sam, you're saying the new guard, though, but the Republican Party also, since 2016, jettisoned the two best Republicans there were, Steve King and Chris Kobach, and they are telling us flat out there's no room for people like us in the Republican Party. I believe them when they say that. Jeff Sessions is gone, thanks to Trump in large part. Listen, I love that the RNC condemned the Southern Poverty Law Center at their convention this month. I love that Trump defends the Confederate monuments and all of this stuff.
So
I love a lot of the stuff that he says. This is a tough conversation.
That's all conversation.
Where's the action?
All right, let's talk about it. Todd wants to make a quick point. Todd?
All right, Sam. Yeah, well, I was going to say, you know, as you all know, the policemen are just trying to do their job. That's right. That they have communist mayors, you know, they have bosses like everybody else. They have families. They're trying, but they can't get it done, you know. It's like we talked before, Sam. I voted for Ross Perot. You know, I voted for Ron Paul. But I'm going to vote for Trump. And, you know.
And so am I, by the way.
It's not the difference between the lesser of two evils. It's the lesser between communism or you want freedom, you know, and I believe that's really what it's kind of coming down to.
I agree. That's the exact point that I'm making.
And like we talked before, if Hillary would have won last time, I may not even be talking to you right now.
Yeah, I may not even be able to conduct this radio network. Thanks, Todd. Keith?
Let me just say this. Respond to Todd, too, but go Keith first, then me, and then back to Sam.
Well, the thing is, I don't think it's the difference between communism and freedom. It's the difference between communism and maybe a watered-down type of socialism or something that we're going to get from the Republicans. The Republicans are totally under the control of Jewish power and influence. That's what is controlling and governing Trump's actions. There's no doubt about it. We really have President Kushner, Jared Kushner.
You give
Ivanka.
Kushner way too much credit. I mean, Trump is only the president, as I say. He is the president, but he is at once only the president.
But then anybody who's not Jewish, everybody that is made to walk the plank, like Jeff Sessions or Corey Lewandowski or whatnot, in the Trump administration is a Gentile. The Jews
Stephen Miller didn't walk the plank, though, did he?
No, Stephen Miller didn't walk the plank, neither did Munchkin or whatever his name is.
hold on. I don't want to get out in the tall grass, but hang on one second. I want to say this very quickly to Todd's call. He is right, and I should have been more clear in the first hour when I say about the police being at fault here. It is the people, the attorney generals, the governors,
it's
the mayors of some of these cities.
Let me explain what's at fault with the cops really fast. It is that you've changed your county sheriffs, which are elected people, with people who serve at their leisure, meaning the American people, as deputies. Yeah, at their pleasure. Okay, so you got an elected official in the county sheriff. We've replaced that with all these police departments that are all appointed political positions. That is your problem.
All right. Now,
that's a good point.
I want to say this also to Todd. You know, we're reading again in Kenosha. The media was referring to what we saw in Kenosha this week as peaceful protests. And I was wondering, are it's every news agency now just like The Onion?
Yes.
But here's the thing. Trump.
Yes.
Correct. Trump supporters were attacked in D.C. And we're not talking about just random Trump supporters who were being attacked in 2016. We're talking about a sitting United States Senator, Rand Paul, and his wife attacked as they left the Republican National Convention in Washington, D.C. A lot of this has to fall on the feet of Trump. We hear the Law and Order tweets. We read them. When does Law and Order get applied? Trump is running as an outsider, as he is the sitting president. Joe Biden's been in there for 50 years. We know what Joe Biden's going to do.
Let me ask you a question.
All right, go.
Because your points are right where you say there's too much conversation, not enough action. Trump talks Law and Order. How come we don't see Law and Order? And the only
question, are we going to see Law and Order in the fifth year? I mean, when does Law and Order actually start?
Well, the only question I have for you is this. Law and Order compared to what? Right now, you can still walk down the street in your little town, and you're fine. If the Democrats have their way, you won't be fine. You might be dead. So the question is President Trump preventing an all-out civil war in America? And if so, he's got law and order compared to what an all-out civil war would look like and or an anarchy state would look like. And I would say this. How much can the president do against the deep state and stay alive? Okay, JFK tried it, and he wound up dead. Ronald Reagan tried it, and they shot him. As a warning, you better mellow out, buddy. How much can one man do as commander-in-chief without winding up dead? And you got to answer that question honestly if we're going to talk about all talk and no action. And then you got to say this. Who has been more pro-life than the president? Nobody. In fact, he even goes against his own party to defend pro-life every single day. Everything he's tried to do to build the wall, to stop illegal immigration, has been shut down and tied up in the courts. What can one man do?
What has changed about abortion?
What can one man do, okay, when he's by himself, he doesn't even have any real supporters to help him with the cause. What can one man do? So you say, what's changed on immigration? Well, you tell me. At least he's standing up for a border wall and protecting our nation and to some degree putting America first. Do we need more done? Yes. What have you done to help him?
Let me say this.
Hold on. What have you done to help him?
I voted for him, which is the ultimate thing.
That's good. And a vote's good.
I voted for him.
A vote's good. But what have you done to help him with immigration? Have you put money into the pot? Have you gone down to the border?
Yeah, I have. I've actually sent him money.
And Keith's money was met with a 700% matching.
Yeah. But let me just tell you this. The problem that James was talking about, I agree with what Trump is doing now regarding blue state cities. Let them feel the burn. Let them feel the pain up there. This is the consequence of your voting patterns. You get people in there that will not protect your businesses, will not protect your safety, will not protect your homes. If that's what you want, well, then you're all certifiable and you need to go to an insane asylum, people of Oregon, Minnesota, Wisconsin. On the other hand, he's saying, you know, if your governors ask me, I'll step right in there and take care of it. That's exactly what he needs to do in this run-up to the election. It may make the scales fall from the eyes of some of these left-wingers in blue states and cause them to vote red. And if they do that, then we can get the transformation we need in America. If not, if Trump wins and they go crazy, they do things like they've talked about, like having California secede from the union, I'd say don't let the door hit you in the ass when you leave.
Well,
because
Trump
wants you gone along with your 50 electoral votes, and then we won't have to worry about losing elections.
That's
as
right. Well, Trump is actually leading in Michigan right now, so the Democrats may have nominated a ticket so weak and have been so wrong on these riots that Trump, against his best efforts, could win re-election. But, I mean, again, Keith, the question is, when does law and order start? When do we send in the National Guard and they get serious?
We're hoping that it's going to start right on the day of his inauguration. He comes in and does all the things that he's promised to do, actually gets translated into governmental policy.
Will he wind up dead?
And he says, damn... Well, look, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. We're in a situation. He's either...
You know, a Yankee was the one who said that.
Yeah, but on the other hand, are we all going to be dead if things keep going in this direction? If, you know, if we have this anarchy and nihilism that we have now, you know, we have more to worry about than the president. We need to worry about our own selves and our families.
But I want to ask James, and then I want you to answer this, Keith, because no one's answered it so far. How far can the president go without winding up dead, do you think?
I think that the thing to do right now...
That's a good question. That's a legitimate question.
Yeah, and what I would say is, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. Let's go and do it. You get a new Praetorian Guard around him.
You're telling me that if
you're in his position... That's
easy
to say when you're not the president.
You'd give up your life for the cause.
Well, yeah, that's right. The cause is that important.
Hang on. Well, Sam, you know how to take us to a break better than anybody, but we will be right back. This conversation continuing for another hour and change.
Dave, I'm 7 years old. I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. And she'll give me a hug and wind up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts, and I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I've got a provocative question to ask Sam Bushman, our good friend, mentor, and colleague. You can check Sam out.
But before you do though, yeah. Keith is ready to give his life if he was president for full speed ahead torpedoes. And I'm saying that what he needs to do then is give a bunch of money to this radio network, and we can basically make a huge difference.
Well, you know, you asked about Donald Trump. What Donald Trump needs to do is give, you know, unlock his purse and do what I've said he needed to do from day one, which was create the Trump News Network,
or
at least get
more.
His wealthy friends to do that. Because until there is a true alternative voice to the left-wing echo chamber that is Jewish-run news media, Jews own 96% of it, then because of that, you know, you're not going to, you know,
I couldn't
the
agree
average
more.
Joe out here, you know, that he's the one that needs to spend some money.
All right, I couldn't agree more with Keith, though, that we do need an alternative voice. And if Trump should do it, I agree 1,000%. But since Trump ain't doing it, Sam Bushman is, and Keith needs to fund it.
Well, this Keith is the guy ready to give, in the bucket.
This is a guy ready to give his whole life for the cause now. And
well,
I'm
here,
just asking
you
got to
remember, I'm a
bucks.
Scotsman. You know, it's like Jack Benny said. Remember the old Jack Benny routine where a robber comes out of the bushes and says, "Your money or your life." And he says, "I said your money or your life." And Jack Benny said, "I'm thinking about it." Right?
There you go.
All right. Well, that'll be the answer on that. Well,
James
hey,
has
Sam,
a question. James?
Before I get to the question, I want to get to that question as the teaser for the end of this segment. Now, when we come back at the top of the next hour, I issued a poll of our audience via Twitter. So this is a good representation of our audience's mindset. What are you going to do on November 3rd? Vote for Trump? Vote for Biden? Or set it out? You've got 10 more minutes to go to our Twitter, at James Edwards TPC, and cast your vote, and then I'll read the results at the top of the next segment. But before I get to that provocative question for you, Sam, I want to read a comment from one of our listeners in the UK who wrote this last week in response to our conversation with our guest last week on third parties. I fear that Greg and Brad are both generals fighting the last war. After the Marxists take power, they're not going to about to risk losing it via electoral politics. Parties, voting, etc. will be things of the past. There may be something called elections, but they're going to be rigged. We are now in the post-democracy phase of the fall of Western civilization. Now, that
well,
falls
we can't
in
be
line
in a post-democracy
with my friend,
phase if we're not a democracy, first of all.
Well, I mean, you know, forgetting the semantics of it all.
We're a constitutional republic, folks. Let that sink in for a minute.
But he's talking about in
a
terms
representative
of
constitutional
I don't think that's in question. I think he's talking about with regards to voting. And that parlays into what my friend Nick Griffin said, that we are past the point of voting ourselves out of this mess now. It doesn't mean that our people are finished. But that part of the game.
We may have to fight our way out. And if that's the case, let the left start it all.
No, no, no.
That's what they may be doing if Trump wins.
But this
And they're doing what they're doing now. You
know, this
is
the
and just ramping it up.
The point I was going to make, though, with saying all of that, Sam, is that what I would say with regards to reelecting Trump is whatever's going to happen after Trump will either happen beginning January of next year or it's going to happen 4 years from now. I think the demographic reality makes that inevitable. So what is the harm? What is our opposition to trying to stay alive 4 more years, buying a little bit of more time, because whatever's going to come after Trump will come soon enough. And as a father, I don't want to see it come too quickly.
Is that a question? Because I agree.
No, it's a comment, and then you take it anywhere you want, and then I'm going to ask you that.
I agree with that point completely that, hey, we're buying time. Look, here's the bottom line. When you said that these guys are saying, you know, we've lost our ability to peacefully work our way out of this, we've lost our ability to vote our way out of this, I concur completely. I don't think at all we're going to save this nation. I think what we're doing is we're basically teaching and preaching and working with and preparing with those who are the elect, those who are the family people, the good people, the moral people, the people that say, hey, I'm going to eventually move to a covenant community. I'm going to move to a homeschooling community. I'm going to work with businesses that are patriotic businesses. I'm going to work in my own little teeny sphere, and I'm going to have the Constitution be the order of the day in that sphere to the best of my ability. I'm going to move to a county and elect a constitutional sheriff. I'm going to live off the grid, and I'm going to stand with my people and my loved ones and my family.
You're describing our audience, Sam.
That's right. And we're going to work on that. We're only helping those people gather and train and prepare. That's all we're doing at this point. And if Donald Trump can give us 4 more years of preparedness before the crap hits the fan, pardon the phrase, then by all means, give it to us. Because any day we get is a good day.
Well, here's another thing, too. If you're a cancer patient, you're dying, do you want every last breath? I mean, I do. I would. I would want every last breath I could with my wife and children and my friends and family. And so I think that's really, I mean, that's not a glowing endorsement of the president, but if the weather is good in Tennessee on Election Day, if I make it to the polls, I would vote for Donald Trump. I'll tell you right now. That's
and
what
you
I would vote
ask
for between
yourself,
the choices that I've got.
You
got
to ask yourself, though, what is in within my power to make a difference and change and do? And what will I do with that power? And that's why I say, you know, it doesn't matter what the Democrats do, how bad the nation gets. I don't have control over those things. I'm only on a micro level, not a macro level. And the micro level says I'm going to endorse that which is good, and I'm going to reject that which is bad to the best of my ability. And if I've given two choices that are neither of them are good, I'm going to pick the best of that I can. Now, if you say, Sam, you know what? Voting for evil, even though it's less evil, is still evil. My response to that is good. I agree. So give me somebody good to vote for, and I'll vote for them. But you haven't. So I'm voting for Donald.
Well, here's the thing, too. And Donald Trump's, at least his family, has personally inflicted injury upon me by lying about us. I mean, they solicited an interview, and then they didn't know what planet anybody was on the day after. And, I mean, all of that. I mean, I take offense to that. So I've been personally offended by the very family.
And the Liberty News Network as well.
All of that, okay. But somebody was lying in that whole ordeal, and it wasn't us. And so I take personal offense to all that. But putting it all aside, given the options we've got, I'll tell you this. My dad just got out of the hospital. He's was in the hospital for a little while. He's here tonight, and we've been spending some time at my house. And he flips between CNN, MSNBC, and Fox. I said, "What are you watching MSNBC and CNN for?" And he's just to see what everybody's saying. He wants to see what the other side is saying. If you watch, I couldn't agree more with any of the criticisms about Trump that have come in. We have levied a lot of them on this program. Our audience is split
been
on what
king.
To do, but I'll
I've
say this: if you want to know
them, James,
no, you certainly have been. Okay. But if you want to be entirely motivated to reelect the president, watch either MSNBC or CNN for 5 minutes at any point in the day. You do that, and I did it. I did it inadvertently this week, and I was like, man, I would do it just to shut up these people, just to stick it to them one more time.
Now, somebody asked the question, what is the best thing that Donald Trump has done?
Now, that was
the question.
Now, here's the question exactly. I'll give it to Sam first because it was his to answer, and then you, Keith. What is, Sam, Donald Trump's greatest single accomplishment in his entire life, including his presidency?
I would say his stance for pro-life and his willingness to focus on prayer being one of the great solutions for America. You know, Donald Trump had more prayers at his inauguration than any other president, from more faiths and more different walks of life and everything else. He's focused on prayer being brought back in school and had a big old press conference about it. He has backed prayer like no other president in my lifetime, and he has backed the pro-life issue more than any other president in my lifetime. Has he done perfect? No. Could he do more? Probably. But you know what? I mean, he literally had Abby Johnson stand on the stage and tell you how evil the abortion mills are. Okay, what president would have the guts to do that? To take a woman who was in Planned Parenthood, who got a rude awakening, now she's standing for pro-life as boldly as she can. What president would give her a chance to stand on the campaign stage at the inauguration of him being nominated for president for this go-around in 2020? I don't know a single other president in my lifetime that would let that happen. He's also doubled down and spoke to the pro-life groups and given them sanction and support like no other. And if there's two things that I think could really change the game in America, it's standing for pro-life. Stop the murder of the most innocent among us, the babies. Over 60 million have been murdered, okay, since Roe versus Wade. Stand for pro-life and stand for prayer. I can't think of two greater things you could do in your life, whether it be me or you or Donald Trump or Keith or any of us. Those are probably the two biggest hills to die on, aren't they?
Keith?
Okay, I'm a little more practical. Let me just say this, okay? What has he accomplished, the best thing that he's accomplished in his life? It is that he has driven the left to total and complete frothing at the mouth distraction. They are absolutely, you know, unhinged by him, and as a result, they show what they truly have in store for us, which is death and destruction. Abortion is just one part of that, okay? They want death and destruction not just for the unborn, but for the born as well. They want all of us dead if we don't agree with them. And they are coming after us, and they have shown their slip, so to speak. They have let us know exactly what they have in store for us. Trump alone has done this. Nobody else that I can think of, short of George Wallace, could have driven them to distraction like this by being in the White House.
Yeah, and I agree with Keith. I don't think that there's one answer to this. I think that everybody has a perspective and a focus, and I think Keith's right, too. I completely agree with that. James?
I agree with both of you. I mean, listen, here's the shame, Sam, is that we have to have a conversation where you have to squint at just the right angle. You have to look through it at a lens with the sun shining at just the right trajectory to determine whether or not Trump is worthy. We should be able to make the case flat out, no doubt about it, after 4 years. This is why he gets reelected, and it's a slam dunk.
Well, the left is so bad. We
got the third hour. We'll be back. Third hour.